Ocho Way. Surf up.
Welcome to the third episode of our Cultural Waves podcast. Together with Anton Dinnerstein. Hello, Anton.
Hello.
A Polonez-based research fellow at the Institute of Slavic Studies of the Polish Academy of Sciences, we are here to discuss the matters of culture studies. Let's again start with a song from the Belarusian underground scene. This time it's Monochrom by Fish Tank. Anton, I'd like to start today's episode with the topic of context. It seems to be really important for one's research, but what is it exactly?
Context, it's a tricky concept because the way you approach context depends on what theoretical perspective you follow. Basically, what stance you take to approach it. And this means that context may be at the same time central, key to some research, and also irrelevant completely for social research based on what you study, actually, from the perspective. And I suggest we focus on a particular research area where a concept of context may be relevant. And let's talk about language and social interaction approach to communication research. Basically, what is language and social interaction? The area of communication research that studies how language, gestures, voice, and other features of talk and written text shape meaning-making. how people basically, how communication affects meaning and helps to create, transform and change meaning in everyday lives. Like the central thing of this language and social interaction approach is obviously interaction. So basically the focus of study is interaction. But then before we try to start speaking about what was context in the research, we need to show how understanding of context in interaction is different.
And how is it different?
Basically, we can speak of two major differences of how context is understood in this approach. One is that the context only exists inside the interaction and is created through this interaction. From this perspective, we assume that there is no context outside of interaction, which means we only pay attention to what is being said and how it is being said to understand what is going on. Another perspective assumes that there is context beyond interaction, and that in order to understand each other, people need to have some kind of common cultural knowledge that they use to interpret what is being communicated and to understand each other. As a researcher, you do not always strictly follow one approach or the other, but this is the general idea. Either context is created in and through interaction, or the interaction is possible due to the existence of the outside context. Sometimes, you can somewhat combine these approaches depending on what exactly you're looking at as a researcher, and this perspective will influence the kind of research problems you can address.
Could you shed some more light on that?
Excuse my language, but for example, kurwa bober. You will not understand what is kurwa bober if you don't understand the Polish context. And this means you need to have some cultural knowledge behind the conversation. And this is what interactional sociolinguistics or ethnographic communication approaches are about, for example. Basically, kurwa bober is cultural, so you will not reconstruct it from text at all if you're not familiar with culture. And that's why it kind of contradicts a bit with the approaches that suggest that there is no context outside interaction.
That was such a cool example. Okay, the last time we were talking about the ethnography of communications, and which is one of the approaches you use? How does that relate to the context?
The key difference is that ethnography of communication takes community as a context. So people use language within their own community, and then they use these cultural kind of cues by which you can understand how this culture works. And so also another thing is that the previous approaches like ethnomethodology, it's a micro approach, but it doesn't speak about the macro world around, like beyond conversation. So ethnography of communication tries to connect the micro world of conversation, of interaction here and now, with the macro world of basically a social structure around. So you place this conversation in the context of community and try to interpret it based on this cultural logic of the community. And then there are other approaches like critical discourse analysis and critical discourse studies, and these are more focused on this macro stuff. But they also use micro conversation basically to try to understand the world around them. But they mostly focus on hegemony, power, dominance, discrimination, some kind of different things that are institutionalized in discourse in society. And then you can be reflected in talk. So they assume that when you look at the cultural text, like discourse, for example, it has some kind of institutional meanings beyond that, or meanings about power, dominance, or like relations of between different groups of people. Or, for example, like with the president and electorate, right? There is like some kind of dynamic here. And critical discourse ties to try to understand this dynamic in a society.
Okay, so let's stop here for a moment and listen to the next song we prepared for today. It's Hanging Around by Apple Picker.
Хочу работать, без меня чуть прошептала, как во сне, так у нас.
So, Anton, going back to your research, how do you analyze the context in relation to the data you collected during your field work?
There is a lot of stuff we can speak about, like the problems with data, like what kind of data you can collect when you do ethnographic research with this, like language and social interaction perspective, for example. You record, you have a transcript, and then you analyze it with a different approach, and you can basically... But this kind of transcript will be a type of data as a thing you can use. You can use video recording, and then you can do so-called multimodal discourse analysis, for example, when you have text and you have a video. People have gestures, like they do something, so you can see what people do and what they say, for example. And you'll be combining two different types of data, like visual and textual, for example. And then, basically, if you record this naturally occurring talk, it's always better. But if you don't have an opportunity to do this, you can do interviews and combine them, like, for example, with official documents, online discussions and accounts and comments of people that they do like. So basically, it's usually good to have some kind of recording of what is happening and then combine it with other types of data, like I said, the documents or comments or on online forums, for example, like social media or something else.
Okay, so as I got it, so the best way is to combine the methods used, right?
Let me give you an example. An interview is one of the most common things used in ethnography. When you need to speak with somebody from the culture to understand what is going on, it has significant limitations because it's a staged activity, which means it has this asymmetry in power. Basically, one person is offering the topic and has a list of questions, and then it's structured. Now, we have an interview, and then you're in control of what I will be talking about because you have a list of questions. And then if you encounter a person and they say like, oh, I'm interested in this, they'll probably be a more good source of information. But if they're not interested or not knowledgeable enough, then they will not be a good source of information. And then that's why, for example, people cannot say something important. Or if you're not familiar with the fields, you do not necessarily know what questions to ask, and then you can ask wrong questions, and then you will get an answer, and then you will be basically failing to understand the field. And then another problem with this interview is that even if it's a good source, and let's assume you have a good interview, people gave you a lot of information, then you have different sources of data that combine with other observations, but then, even then, you need to always back up these interviews with what people actually do, because when they say something, it does not necessarily actually mean that they do this, or people may...
Exaggerate.
Right. So over-exaggerate things or say things. They can lie without knowing they're lying. I mean, not that they're trying to mislead you. They try to be nicer themselves as nice people and not necessarily they're telling the whole truth or the way it was actually happening. And that's why you need to check. If you, for example, ask, okay, like, how do people watch football in Poland? And they will tell you, we go there with friends and we buy soft drinks and lemonade and then we speak and nicely talk. And then you see people punching each other in the face and drinking beer, like, okay, like, what? How does it correspond to what you said to me? Like, so basically, you need to also observe what people speak about.
Okay, thank you for this insight. Let's now listen to the last song that we will close today's discussion with. It's Длинна волны. Do it.
Trying to crush the wrong bungee. there.